You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you this morning?
I am chilly, probably everybody else is.
Yeah, a little bit nippy out there today. You're taking us all around the world today. Where are we going in the land of music?
Yeah, well, this is something I've been giving lectures on recently and just looking into. It's songs that are about cities, and it can be even easier because I've got songs with cities in the title.
Yeah, this is a fascinating phenomenon. I feel like everyone can probably already list five or six off the top of their head that they can think of, but it becomes quite like a marker of place, doesn't it, to have a song that really sounds like somewhere.
Absolutely, and there's kind of an actual real thing with being deemed an official music city. It's a certain criteria, and it can help you get funding and all sorts of stuff about, you know, venues and licenses and sort of noise control exceptions. So it's actually kind of a real thing to be a music city. But you think about, you know, cities that you do associate with music, like, you know, New Orleans or Nashville, you know, so place and music is actually, you know, a real ubiquitous link.
I'm going to hit the first track here.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking.
What are we listening to, Kirsten?
So this is Jackson. Sung by June Carter Cash and Johnny Cash, 1967. There's heaps of cool covers of it as well, including Trixie Mattel and Orville Peck.
That is an excellent cover.
And, well, here's the weird thing, though. I was all ready to talk about, like, you know, train lines and commerce lines, and you get those sort of inner cities, you know, the landlocked cities in America, you know, where people have traveled, and that's where you get music, right? Because if people are traveling and shipping goods, and then you stop. But apparently, there's about 30 Jacksons in the States. And then if you're going to count Jacksonvilles and everything, I'm like,
bloody hell.
And so, apparently people don't even know which Jackson the song is about.
So
I guess it leaves, you know, it opened to the imagination of some sort of a city, some sort of a southern city. And apparently, so this, after one of the early sort of presidents and battle generals in the United States, Andrew Jackson, but he's on the $20 bill, but he fought a lot of battles. And so, you know, each of these cities, there might be statues of him and stuff during different...
I see.
Pre-Civil War. And then there's a famous version of this with Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon from the Walk the Line movie, 2005. But he was a really bad man. Sorry.
I was going to say the pre-Civil War kind of made that very abundantly clear, I think.
Yeah. But it just gives the vibe, you know,
Of
sort of small town
and it's sort
some
of,
sort of random, this is almost nameless place now if there's so many Jacksons.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's sort of interesting because it's a place that probably most people who have heard this song will never go, but you get a very strong sense of what they're trying to tell you about the city, even though all they're really saying is like, oh, we're going to Jackson, we got married, blah, 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 blah. You know, like the song's not really like, and there's a shop on the corner, and this man lives in this house. It's not like that kind of place setting,
but is it going to, so is that sort of longing? And I love his guitar playing, kind of almost sounds like a train.
Yeah, you know, the music, love that.
And so you feel like you're on the road, you're somewhere in middle America, you know, and chugging along to these, you know, it's a nameless, faceless place because you want to kind of
fixing,
you know,
your failed marriage.
This is another song where you could say the guitar playing has a kind of evocation of the city.
So this is London Calling, The Clash, 1979.
It's such a... I was going to do it, though. No, I'm not going to do it this morning, but it's such a... easily imitable sound, but, you know, so signifying of a time and a place, eh?
Yeah. And apparently it's from these BBC reports during World War II that would start off with London Calling, so some people of certain generations would have recognized it.
So this song is much more an actual commentary on the city than the last one we just listened to. That's more sort of a sense of a feeling of a place. This is like a, you know, apocalyptic view of that big city.
Well, yeah, and I think it's so funny with... So this song feels very English, right? And it feels very London. And it's so interesting that this Britishness is big enough to hold monarchy in the old school and the aristocracy, as well as the rebellion and, you know, left-wing Cold War anti-monarchy. Yeah. You know, like, it's all... It can hold both of those things and be very iconic. And so... You know, I like that this song kind of, because it's an anti-monarchy song, it's just as much a part of Britain as the monarchy, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, yeah. But I have no fear, because London is drowning.
Also, how much has this song specifically become in any sort of like film or TV show, just the thing you need to signify a particular...
Yeah.
Oh, you're in the UK now. You're specifically, you're in London. It's about this time of the world, you know.
But it's a seedy London. Like, you can... Yeah. Again, London can have both. You can have elegance, right, and beauty and history, but also this contemporary, you know, kind of grunge...
It's an interesting thing from a New Zealand perspective, because we have talked about this before, Kirsten, but this kind of idea of like cultural cringe, and I think we're better at it now as a country, but that thing of like being a little colonial outlet and feeling weird about hearing your own city or your own like place named in a song, and that's something that I think we've sort of pushing through, luckily, thanks to a lot of great music that celebrates its locality, but that's sort of not something that cities like the UK, cities like London rather, have, being those colonial wheelhouses themselves.
Yeah, I was trying to find some New Zealand ones, and you know, the only Australian one is it was so terrible I couldn't use it. It's by Robin Gibb, and it's called Sydney. But even that didn't kind of have the vibe, did it?
Yeah, it's a real interesting one. This last one is possibly a personal fave, I think.
Okay. Well, after all the cities, you know, we have, you know, like Las Vegas and New York. You guys chose this one. It's so funny. But
because it's a banger, Kirsten, that's why.
But Vienna actually was a huge music city in like the 1700s, 1800s. Mozart, Beethoven. So it is a music city, even though this song's more about just sort of a love affair gone bad in Vienna.
But could you could argue, you know, maybe.
Analysis.
That the drama... The kind of camp mystery of this song.
It encapsulates the location.
Camp mystery.
It's got that sort of throwback to a grand sort of historical, theatrical, musical past, perhaps.
Yes, like the relationship is gone and the sort of iconic, you know, fame of the city is gone.
Hope everyone's having a lovely sing-along in the car to this.
Oh, yeah, true. Okay, now here we get music parts where he talks about notes, pizzicato strings, and rhythm. So, you know, they're definitely making that connection.
It's a really wild phenomenon, eh? Because everybody's got a different idea of what their city or their town is like, and you can hear that in the sort of variety of... New York's a great one. The amount of songs.
That's right. That could have done just a New York one.
Yeah, totally. Like the breadth of what it says to you about how people perceive that city and their space in it is so fascinating. Probably you could argue that Alicia Keys is maybe the now officially the New York anthem, but there's so
really,
many...
Really? After Frank Sinatra, bro? I mean, you know, I don't...
Oh, yeah, true.
Generational.
Well, yeah.
Alicia.
I feel like Alicia Keys' song, though, is the go-to in film and TV now.
What I was trying to imagine, if any Viennese companies or government uses the song in their, like, advertising or tourism.
I'm going.
I don't know. Buy Vienna sausage.
We're getting some fantastic New Zealand ones come through here. I Want to Be in Auckland Tonight by the Androids as a band.
Oh, okay.
What's Wrong with Huntley? A classic.
It's a classic.
A BFM, specifically a BFM classic. We've also got, Richard says, we are better, but cultural cringe definitely still exists here. Yeah, you're right. I think you're right. We're still pushing through it. Today, Tomorrow, Timaru by Deja Voodoo is another.
Oh, I haven't heard that one. I'm going to have a listen.
And someone says Paul Kelly does a lot of lovely songs about Aussie cities and sort of set in Aussie cities. And I think there's something sort of interesting as well about these are all songs that you've given us, Kirsten, where the city is the name. It's the whole thing is the signifier.
Yeah.
We could really get into the weeds of songs that... this is the best bit I'm talking over now. But.
Do it without having it in the title, but are still about the city.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, there's your Vienna.
What's up?
The synth strings, but...
So
but they still tug on the heart. Someone says hip-hop. Hip-hop is so good at place-checking.
Absolutely.
It feels better than
They'll go down
genres.
To the neighborhood. They'll go down to the neighborhood, the zip code.
Yeah, totally.
You know, the phone thingy that goes, you know, the phone numbers.
Yeah. Someone says, Vienna always evokes that classic European cinematic dramatic feel. Classy and sexy, but a little bit melodramatic too.
I know, I feel like putting on a trench coat.
Someone texted in saying that when they were little, they wanted to call their cat Theodore because Vienna was their favourite song, but they thought he was singing Theodore.
A love ode to Theodore.
When I read that, I was like, how would you hear that? But then saying it out loud, I can definitely hear where that would come from. Mutton Birds, I Wish I Was in Wellington. We've also got To Live and Die in Avondale. There's quite a recent one from Tamaki as well. Loving these. Keep them coming. 5395. What's your favourite city song? Thank you, Kirsten, for bringing us this sort of map of the world this morning. It's been a lot of fun. We'll talk to you again on next Friday.
All right.
Ka kite.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.